Alright, so welcome to episode 2 of Iced Out, a hockey podcast that will tend to have a little bit of an Alabama bend to it whenever we can get one. And again, we've got one today. So my name is Joshua Ragsdale. I am here with my co-host,
Jeff Moran.
And our guest today is...
I'm Cannon Briere.
Nice to have you here.
Yep.
Thank you.
So last week we had club president Trey Housen. And now we've got Kalen Briere, one of the star players on the team. So why don't you go ahead and just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself to get started.
My name is Kalen Briere. I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm a French-Canadian, so one of the last French-Canadians on the team. We had a couple, I think we had three or four my freshman year, but I played defense. I like to be an offensive defenseman as much as I can, but... No, I gotta dial back a little bit, but that's about it, so.
Alright, can you go and tell us a little bit about how you kinda first got into the sport?
I mean, I've been playing hockey since as long as I can remember. I'm pretty sure my dad put me in skates at like the age of 3, maybe 2 years old, when we lived in Phoenix. And the only thing I remember from Phoenix is being on rollerblades, honestly, like in my backyard. So, I mean, I started way back when, and I've just been playing ever since. I played a little bit of defense, switched to offense, and then I switched back to defense. My dad told me I was too slow to be a forward, so I had to switch. I had to switch to something a little bit more my pace, but I like it. So that's kind of how I got to where my positioning, at least. So.
And you just stuck with defense all throughout college and high school as well, or?
So it was weird. As a forward, I'm a defensive forward. Like, I'm very defensive minded as a forward, but when you put me on defense, I'm very offensive minded. So I'd rather be a defenseman who can touch the puck a lot, skate it up, and at least like make a couple plays than a forward who just tries to block shots. Nothing against them or anything, but I definitely like the skill part of it more. I feel like anyone does who plays any sport. So
yeah.
Everyone wants to score a touchdown, even those big offensive linemen in football. So, you know, that's about it.
So you said you're one of the last French-Canadians on the team. Trey last week said that you recruited him, basically, to the University of Alabama. So French-Canadian at Alabama, can you kind of go into how you chose to come here?
So, I mean, me coming in here, I always heard about Alabama. I actually, it was funny, Liberty was one of the schools that was interested in me, and I was kind of interested just because of the hockey-wise. They're pretty big up there. But I was training basically to go back to junior hockey, and I met our ex-coach, Kyle Richards, and he basically sold me on it for the most part. It took about a week or two to actually make up my mind, but I was told I was too old to play junior hockey in the NAHL, so I was like, you know what, probably won't be playing Division I hockey, which I'm okay with. I was going to be a 7th, 8th defenseman regardless, but I didn't want to be at a small school. Like, I figured if I'm going to go play hockey, might as well go play somewhere that has, I don't know, like a lot of people, just a big school. I just got to a point where hockey wasn't going to be my career, and I accepted that. So I was like, might as well go get a college experience. And I mean, there's nothing else, I feel like. Nothing other than like the college experience is Alabama for the most part. Like, you come down here and you're getting what you see on TV for the most part. And that's what I wanted. And that's exactly what I told Trey. I was like, if you want the college experience and get to play good level hockey, there's no other choice. You can go to other big schools and get that same experience, but I mean, why not come to Alabama and hopefully win a national championship with the football team? So
yeah,
kind of helped. But I mean, that's kind of what brought me down here, is just the fact that it's the University of Alabama. So it really got my attention. And honestly, if hockey were not to be a part of my life, if I were to get hurt, I'd like this school enough where I wouldn't mind being here. You know what I mean? Like, outside hockey, I love the school, which helps me be here in the first place. So
yeah, I feel that for sure. I have a bunch of friends who went to college for lacrosse, and as soon as they got sat on the bench or didn't play their freshman year, got hurt, they were like, I hate this school. Like, why am I here? I was only here for sports, and now I can't even play. So they had transferred right away. And it was like, yeah. So what you're saying makes so much sense. Like, why not come down here and get that college experience?
No, exactly. I mean, I traveled too, so like, I've lived in different parts of the states, and I want to experience more. I don't want to just stay in one spot or stay in the East Coast, Upper East Coast, and not stray too far. Like, I like the fact that I'm in the South, which is something that I've never lived in. Now I've lived here for this my third year, and I think it's a great experience, and I love it down here. So it's just unreal, I think.
So let's kind of shift a little bit, get into what we can expect to see from the Tide on the ice this year when we eventually get on the ice. So Trey said that it's kind of looking a little hazy in terms of scheduling with some teams, you know, for the D1 team.
Yeah.
And what's kind of your take on that?
I mean, this is a huge dagger into everyone's season, so I just think the best option would just have fun for, like, half a semester. I know I love to, even if it's not, like, normal, go down to Florida and play a few of those D2 teams down there, places that will still give us a good game, and probably someone that might still give us a run for our money, but also kind of get us outside of our regular routine of going to Missouri or going to Michigan, going to IUP, Pittsburgh, like just our regular spots that we've hit the last few years. So I think it would be just a nice release for a lot of the guys too, maybe. And then, like, you get back into the next season next year, and I think back into the grind will be awesome. Like, I think last year just sucked because we were in a bad situation last year. We didn't have a lot of leadership, frankly. We were a very young team. We had 4 seniors. 1 couldn't even play the first semester, so we were stuck with only 3 seniors for most of the year. 1 coach on the bench. I mean, it's not going to go well. But I think by the time we can get back into our actual schedule and our actual games and everything like that, I think we'll be a lot more mature as a team, because we are still pretty young. Most guys are sophomores and younger juniors for the most part. That might end up being 5th years, who knows. But I mean, I just hope that we get to keep a couple of the seniors this year that might want to play next year and play for a 5th year. So. But I mean, I think we're in a good spot. I think we have a good core of kids, and I don't think any one of them doesn't deserve to be on a team right now. So it's just about finding those few fillers to really strengthen our lineup, make us a deep team instead of just like a face level type of team. So,
speaking of deep, like having a deep team, how do you feel about some of those D3 players coming up? Well, now D2, but how do you feel about any of those guys coming up and playing on D1 this year or next semester or anything like that? Do you think?
I mean, 100%. I mean, we saw last season John Chiarelli.
Chiarelli,
yeah. Yeah. He was a D3 guy for most of the season, and he came up and probably was one of our top 4 defensemen. Like, solid shutdown defensemen, and someone that was just reliable for us. And I think a lot of those guys are ready to make that jump. Hopefully a couple of them do. I know John will probably stay on the team. I don't know about who else will be coming up. I know Phil has a couple guys already. He was their coach last year. He knows who to look into and what guys are going to be the best option probably. So just go with his role on this. I think, I mean, that's a new coaching system. It's going to be a new culture. So I'm excited for that. So
going into that kind of new culture, new coach, you also mentioned earlier that the team kind of didn't have a lot of leadership last year. And Trey last week said that Phil kind of brings a little bit more of an authoritarian figure. Do you think that that's going to, like, help out with the team?
Yes, I do. Nothing against Richie. I love the guy. I backed him throughout the whole season. Like, it hurt me that he had to leave, and with everything that happened and all the drama he was put through. But in reality, I think he is an unreal assistant coach. You put him as an assistant coach, he could be a top assistant coach anywhere, because he knows how to talk to the players. He knows how to be more personal with the players and actually, like, be buddy-buddy, whereas a head coach isn't really, that's not really their role. Their role is to be more of an authoritarian person, someone that's going to be a little scarier, honestly. I think, like, personally, I wasn't scared of Richie. I think no one was really scared of him, because everyone knew that, yeah, he would get mad, but in the end, he wants to be your buddy. He doesn't want to, like, be the head coach. Like, after hockey, he wants to be your buddy. There's nothing wrong with that, but he just has to, he needed someone to be that meaner slash, like, get in your face coach, because we only had the one coach, and you can't be both. So, and if you're going to be one, you might as well be a head coach that no one really likes, because then at least you'll get some respect and people will listen to you. And I think that's where Phil comes in, is he's not going to try and be our friend. He's not going to try and be our buddy. Yes, he will look out for our well-being, and he will make sure we're healthy and being the best person that we can be. But with that being said, he's not going to be there holding our hand, talking like, just being our friend. Like, that's not who he is, and he knows that too. So I think that'll help just, like, the team kind of gel a little bit more. I mean, last year it was more, everyone didn't enjoy Richie, so they gelled over that, but I think it was because he didn't do a very good job of controlling the room. I mean, kids would come to practice late or games late and say they got a ticket, like, but they weren't, they just showed up late, and then nothing happens. You know what I mean? Like, we had a kid blatantly just say that he wasn't going to show up to something that he had to because he lost a game, and no discipline. Like, the coaches heard him say it, and he was one of our seniors, and nothing. Like, no discipline. So I think that just showed players that they could do whatever they wanted last year, whereas this year they're not, I don't think, at all.
Yeah, so I get the feeling that's not gonna fly with Phil this year, really.
No, not at all. I think, and I mean, Phil has already said that to me. He's like, I'm not your friend. Like, he we've talked already, and he said, he's like, I'm not your friend, but, like, you know, I'm gonna be your coach. Like, we're gonna have, like, an actual team that is going to, like, listen to him at least. So, and nothing against Richie. I mean, he was a great assistant coach. Would have been a great assistant coach. So, and he is, I think, at Castleton right now, he's in a great position, because he's exactly where he needs to be with, like, the position wise. And I think that's a good step for him forward, for sure.
So. Was Phil also at the tryouts? Was he playing goalie last year at the tryouts? I think, was he on the ice, or?
I don't think he was he wasn't a goalie. I think if anyone was a goalie, it was, we had an assistant coach. I forget his name, honestly.
Is he still going to be there, or no?
No, he left. So we had two coaches at the beginning of last year, and our assistant coach left to go work in another arena, because he worked for the arena and was just coaching, like, just for his part time, just because he wanted to. But he ended up getting another job somewhere else in the country. So he ended up moving with his family and everything like that. But I think he was a goalie and he had his equipment down there. So I think he hopped in net maybe, but, at least not against any of the games that I was out there for, that I know of. So,
okay. Yeah.
Do you think that Phil kind of having that professional experience, you know, he was playing the SPHL for a couple of years there towards the end of his career, right before he got into coaching with the D3 team. Do you think that that's going to kind of lead to the locker room kind of respecting him a little bit more? Because I know that Richards, he was a good player in college, but he never made that jump to the professional league.
I do. I think guys will respect it a little bit more. They're going to look at him and say, he knows what he's talking about. Like, he's been through it. Like, he's had his ups and downs. And, like, I think guys will come in and actually listen to maybe what he has to say. Because, I mean, everyone knew Richie was just a college player, a good college player, but then never really made that next jump. And now everyone knows Phil did make that jump. Like, he did do that for a good, 13 years at least, I think, maybe more probably. And I think that experience itself will come into play too, because Castleton is what, D2 NCAA or D3 NCAA?
D2, I think.
D2. So that's also a different style of game than what we have here. I think Division I club hockey anywhere is going to be more of a rougher, more hitting, less skill mainly type of hockey. And I think that's where Phil comes in good, because, I mean, even last year, we would get into so much trouble against teams that were physical against us. Like, that's strictly where we got all our problems. We would play a team that wouldn't hit us as much, and we'd give them a game. We would actually have a good game, and then teams would come out and absolutely just pummel us into the boards and into the ground and give us no space, no time, and we didn't know what to do with ourselves. Whereas I think Phil has grown up playing in that style these past 12 years, that he's going to bring in a lot of experience on how to deal with that, like the adversity of getting hit the entire game, and just like how annoying it can be, because it is. It's a pain in the butt to get every moment, just like, as especially as a defenseman, dump and chases where they just come in, hit you, and take the puck. It sucks. Oh, it's the worst. it sucks because we would never do that. We would never play that way. We'd always try to bring the puck in through the zone. Like, I don't understand why our forwards sometimes wouldn't do that, but I think that's just because of the type of style that we were being coached and that we were trying to play. So I think it's going to be a completely different style of game that you're going to see from our team once we can actually get a few practices on our belt and everything else. So.
And has the whole team, like, as of right now, have they met with the coaches and or with Phil yet? Or, like, have you guys all met with him and talked with him or anything?
I'm pretty sure Phil has reached out to everyone, or at least almost everyone. I know he's tried to. And everyone knows. I mean, Phil's been around too for a few years, because he played in Birmingham for the Bulls for a few years. I don't know the exact
at least
number.
2 years.
Yeah. So he's been around the system. So the core group of guys knows who he is already and knows the way he coaches and how he wants to coach, I think. So I don't think anyone's going to be stunned by that per se, but I just hope that people buy in for the most part. Like, I just hope that it's, because it's a new coach, that people just, like, buy in and try again. Because I think that was a big problem, is Richie's, like, his style wasn't working and kids just stopped buying in, and that just made it worse throughout the season. Whereas if kids had bought in, yeah, we probably would have not played as great, but we wouldn't have lost as many games as we did.
Some of those games I felt like were, well, plus or minus a few, but a lot of them felt like they were lost by one one goal
and
like,
lost in the third.
Yeah, in the
always very, like, always in the third.
Last couple of minutes of the game, there would be a goal, and it was like, well, that just took the air right out of the team.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, right in, I think it was December, was that the sweep against Illinois State, was it? Like, late in December? And then they came, you guys came back in January and split it against Iowa State.
Yeah, right
before. And it looked like, you know, the team was going to kind of like, okay, we're turning the corner now. And then all of a sudden you play UCL. I think it was who it was after that. And then just, like, they were a tough team.
It just sucked because we had the We had the talent last year. You could not disagree with that with our seniors, even though it wasn't a lot of leadership. They had a lot of talent. And, yeah, it's definitely tough because I remember looking after that sweep and after the overtime win and losing 3-2 the next game or something like that, barely squeaking out a loss. Looking at the schedule and going, all right, like, we have a chance. It's not over. Like, the season wasn't lost. And then UCO.
Yeah,
UCO. And then the next game, and it just snowballed again. So,
I remember, you know, Jeff and I were the play-by-play team for the most part that game. And before the games, I would kind of just look up, like, you know, who was what was going on with the opposing team, what their coaching situation was like. And I saw that UCO's coach was on, like, pushing for, like, someone like 400 wins or something like that. He'd been there for forever and all that stuff. It's like, that's going to...
Yeah.
That's kind of, like, two different coaches. Like, Kyle's a very young coach, you know. Like, he'd been around for a couple of years. And then you just got this, like, legend
all
of a sudden on the other side. That's just going to...
coach, that's...
Yeah. I think that was a big part, too, is we didn't have a bad team. We just got out-coached.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that wasn't a secret. That was... Kyle would admit that more times than I'd like to admit, honestly. But that's just what happens when you have one coach on the bench. So, like, I don't blame him for all of it. I don't blame him for half of it because half of it is us playing. And a lot of us weren't trying half the game. So, like... It was just a sucky situation from start to finish that year and just how everything went. So,
this will be my personal last question about Phil. I don't know if Jeff has anything else, but I like whenever you type in Phil Tesserero on Google, one of the first things that pops up is Phil Tesserero fights. Have you seen any of those videos?
I have not seen any of the videos. I mean, if you know my background, I'm more of a lover, not a fighter. Fighting is not very big in my family. So, but I think that'll bring in some toughness. I think he'll teach us kind of how to get under opponent's skin a little bit more. Like the little things that really can make or break someone breaking and just losing their shit on you. So, and I think he has that, whereas Kyle was more of a skill guy and wasn't thinking a lot about that. So I think Phil will bring a lot more toughness to just our atmosphere in general. But,
yeah. And I'll just ask one more, and it's gonna, with the fan base and it being up in Birmingham and, well, in Pelham, how would you feel about it? Like, do you think there'd be a bigger fan base of students and, like, Tuscaloosa area residents if there was a rink anywhere closer than 40 minutes away? Like, how would you feel about it as a player? Or
1,000,000% we'd get a bigger fan base. I think, I mean, I understand we're a club hockey team. There's only so much we can ask for. But the amount of kids that I've asked if they even knew we had a hockey team or if they'd be willing to come to a hockey game, because not everyone's from Alabama that goes to the University of Alabama. A lot of those kids are from everywhere in the country. Yeah. So, like, just half of the kids probably know hockey, and then the other half would even go to a game strictly because, one, we it's not football, but we get to hit people, and I think that's fun for people to watch. I think college, I think hockey is a great college sport because fans can get as crazy as they want, as rowdy as they want. Like, there's really no rules against it. I think Alabama itself has just a great sports fan base that even if they kids didn't know hockey, they would come to a game. I mean, it's just crazy because everything would get better in Alabama hockey if we got a rink on campus, because kids would want to, the amount of kids too that I've talked to personally who have said, I don't really want to come to Alabama, not because of the school or because I don't want to play hockey there, it's because of the drive. No one wants to do an hour drive if you're not really committed. So the amount of good talent that you get in like actual Alabama down here in Tuscaloosa would be unreal, because all it took for me to get Trey down here was to tell him it's the college experience. He has said that to kids that he knows, and he's gotten kids to say, yeah, like, I'm down, like, I want to come, and then they hear how far away the rink is, and it's like a dagger in the heart, and it's just, never mind, like, I don't think that's worth it. So, I mean, the amount of money we'd make, the amount of money the school would make, because the thing is, yeah, we'd have a hockey team, our D1 and the D2 team, but at the same time, like, the amount of date parties you could do, the amount of open skates you could do, open hockey, like, learn to skate, you could do so much more with it and have so much more into it than just hockey. It doesn't have to be just hockey. It could be a community space. Like, the amount of people that actually want to go to a hockey game is ridiculous, because we would sell out an arena more than Liberty. We'd be far better than Liberty. If we had a rink as big as them, we would pack that out every game, I think.
And you think the energy that the crowd would bring would make you guys...
Unparalleled. Yep. I think we'd win every game at home. I don't think any team would be able to handle it, because you see what Liberty has and their atmosphere, and you just look at that school. Yeah, their fans get rowdy in those stands, but I can't even imagine what someone would do when they have someone from Tuscaloosa in their face. Like, that's completely different than Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Like, it would be crazy. And I think hockey would become a Division I NCAA sport within 3 years of us getting a rink, because the amount of talent of kids that would want to come is already going to amplify tenfold. You're going to get fans, so you're going to have the support of almost every college student, because who doesn't want to watch kids just absolutely kill each other boards and curse each other out on the ice? It's not like you can't hear what we're saying on the ice too, and like,
yeah, it echoes.
Yeah. So, like, I just it would be crazy. Like, it gives me goosebumps just thinking about that happening one day. Even if I'm not here, like, I will try and make that happen as much as I can, because I think that is something that kids are missing down here, because there's a lot of kids from the north or the east people that love hockey. Like, it's not uncommon for people not to know what hockey is, and it would help out the team personally. Our dues would go down 75% if we had a rink on campus, simply because we wouldn't have to pay for as much ice time, we wouldn't have to pay for all the traveling. There's so much that goes into play that the school doesn't help us out with. Like, we've asked them, because every other sport gets to use the school grounds and everything like that. There's no club sport other than hockey that has to go off campus to do something. And they don't even help us out a little bit. Like, I think they tried to give us like a couple grand, and they thought that was a lot of money. And to us, that pays for a week of skates.
Yeah.
If that, like,
it's like what is it, $300 a player for equipment and ice time for a year? Maybe more than that. Maybe just to try out.
Tryouts itself are like $200, yeah. Just because of ice time, and it also doesn't help. Past presidents didn't do well with our money, so we're like tight on money. So, but it doesn't matter. It's just, the school doesn't help, and it sucks because as much as I love the school, they piss me off sometimes. But I mean, I wouldn't want to be playing hockey anywhere else, regardless. I would do the drive regardless to be playing down here, personally. So, but yeah.
We're running a little long here, so I'm going to end us off with just one more question on a positive note. I'm going to take us back to Iowa State. Overtime. What's going through your head, and what did you see when you shot that game winner? And also, what was up with the celebration where you just kind of threw yourself up into the boards? Because that was one of the funniest celebrations I've seen.
So, well, it's already 3-on-3. I think I've given Jake Furry about 17 passes that game for him to score, and he's couldn't handle anything. And the one time he gave me a pass, I just cut to the middle. I kind of blacked out. I just cut to the middle of the net, hoping to stay open, and the guy just didn't bite, or he bit on me going outside and didn't come in with me. And I know that goalies hate backhand shots. It's the worst. It's the one shot that a goalie doesn't know where it's gonna go because you can't read the blade. So I knew all I had to do it was just get it past him because he was coming out so far, and I just needed to get it on net. And then I just saw it go by him. It didn't even go in the net yet, and I knew it was gonna be a goal. And that, I was just too excited. I definitely wasn't hoping to fall, but I don't score many goals, so I gotta make my celebrations memorable. So that was definitely a goal.
It's definitely memorable.
Yeah, for sure. So
that was a top 25 ACHA team. I think they were 15 or 18 at that.
And that's why, yeah. After we get that sweep and we split that game with them, we're thinking to ourselves, we're right there. Like, we have the team to do it. And it is what it is now. So,
at least you got a good memory out of it.
Exactly.
Not many people can say they have an overtime game winner like that.
Exactly. Yeah, it definitely is. It was a good moment for the team, I think. It was just at least a happy moment for us last year, and it helped. So, but yeah, it was nice.
Big
for
sure.
Yeah, big.
So, yeah, like I said, we're running a little long here, so I'm going to call it. This has been Iced Out. My name is Joshua Ragsdale. I've been here with
Jeff Moran.
And our guest today was
Caleb Breer.
So we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.